I want to start reading here in verse 26. I'm going to be going through three or four things. In the title of my message, The Practice of Preaching Christ. I remember Henry telling me the first meeting he was down here, on the very last night, we set out in his car before we went into the service. And he says, "Brother Don," he said, "I'm going to tell you something." He said, "If you'll just make the gospel, this the gospel, your ministry, Christ your ministry. Don't get on people for what they do or where they go or how they dress. Don't get on about anything." He said, "You make the gospel and preaching Christ your ministry, and God will bless it." And by His grace, I've tried to do that. And that's why, you know, the practice of preaching Christ is something you have to just practice at. It's just, you know, His flesh gets in the way. And so we have to labor at it. That's why Paul called it a labor. And he said it was a determination that he had. So he determined these things. But look here in verse 26 of Acts chapter 8. "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south under the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose, and behold, and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch, a great authority unto Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship. He was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. Philip ran there to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said unto him, Understandest what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture," excuse me, "which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip, and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth, and began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doeth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing." You know, in preaching Christ from the Old Testament, which I did three times down in Louisiana, in preaching Christ from the Old Testament, we have to see how they did it in the New. And that's the only thing they had to preach from in the New Testament as they started preaching, was the Old Testament. And they used direct references to our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he said here in Isaiah 53:7-8. Direct references to our Lord Jesus Christ. And they used a lot of types and pictures. I listened to Paul Mahan preach today, and he preached from a beautiful, beautiful type of our Lord Jesus Christ as Joshua leading Israel over the Jordan. And then there were references that's pretty obscure that they looked. And we look at these New Testament preachers, and Barnard used to say, if you want to know how to preach the gospel, learn how to preach the gospel, study the book of Acts. Study the book of Acts. And that's what we do, is we do that. And here's the first thing I want to say, that Philip, when he began to preach, he arrived at Christ very quickly. He arrived at Christ very quickly. There in chapter 35, verse 35 of chapter 8, "Then Philip opened his mouth, and began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus." Now he was led by the Spirit of God. This man was driving along by himself. He no doubt had an entourage with him, because he is a famous man. He is led by Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, to meet an Ethiopian eunuch, and he says, one of great authority. This fellow has some power. This fellow has some great authority. He had control of all the money of that particular kingdom that he was over. And he had come up, it says there in verse 27, he had come to Jerusalem for to worship. You know, they had three times a year that men would come up to worship in Jerusalem. And he came to Jerusalem to work. That's what that woman at the well said. We know that Jerusalem is where the Jews worship. That's where worship is at. That's where it's at. That's where the temple is. That's where the tabernacle is. That's where the priest is. That's where all. That's where you go up there. You go up there to Jerusalem to worship. And he went up there seeking something. He went up there to worship. He went up there to learn something. He went up there to see what those rabbis had to say and see what those teachers had to say and see what was going on around the temple. And he left there just as empty as he was when he went up there. He didn't get anything while he was there. The law and religion and Moses. And then when he left, he still didn't have anything at all. And so he didn't find Christ at Jerusalem. And then look what happened. And the Spirit, verse 29, go near and join thyself to this chariot. So Philip ran up beside that chariot and was walking along beside it. And he ran up to him, and look what it says, and he heard him read the prophet Isaiah. This man was sitting there reading out loud. He was reading out loud, and Philip heard him reading. And he asked him this wonderful question, do you understand what you read? Do you understand the scriptures that you're reading? Do you understand what you're doing when you open that Bible and you're riding along here and you're reading this out loud to yourself? Do you understand what you read? And here's what he said, verse 30, how can I except some man should guide me? And that's what God calls preachers to do. That's what God calls men to do, is to guide people through the scriptures, to show them the things of Christ. And look what it says here, in the place that he read, he asked Peter and Philip to get up in there with him, and this was where the place he read. Let's look at it in Isaiah 53. Let's see what this man had to tell this fellow. And he said, he began at the same, opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Now look, here's the verses that he read. In Isaiah 53 and verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And here's where he's reading. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Now the first thing he's got to tell him is, why was he oppressed and why was he afflicted? Who oppressed him? Who afflicted him? Who caused his body to be afflicted, his soul to be afflicted, his mind to be afflicted? What caused him to be afflicted? And no doubt, he began to go all the way through Isaiah 53. And then look what he says here. And yet he opened not his mouth. He never answered it. He never stood up for himself, never defended himself. He said, even when they hired the people of false witness against him, he never defended himself. Answer thou me, they said. Answer me. Can our Lord Jesus stand there? Just stand there. And he was brought as a lamb to the slaughter. So he's got to tell him what it was to be the lamb, what a lamb was for, what a lamb meant to be, what a lamb meant to God, what a lamb meant to Israel, what a lamb meant to a soul that it was offered for. So he had to explain to him what a lamb was. He had to go back to, probably went over in Genesis and said the first time that the word lamb was mentioned there, when he back in Exodus and Genesis, and he said, oh listen, he went up on the mountain and he offered a lamb in the stead of Isaac. Where's the lamb? He said, where's the lamb? God will provide himself a lamb, he said. So, oh listen, he had to and he's brought us a lamb to the slaughter. And the thing this man asked was this, and he asked such an incredible question, who is this prophet talking about? Is he talking about himself or some other man? That's a good question. And oh, listen, and he said, listen, and he's brought as a lamb to the slaughter. What do you mean slaughter? Well, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Without the shedding of blood, God will not put away sin. Without the shedding of blood, God cannot be approached. It takes the blood to put away sin. It takes the innocent for the guilty. It takes the just for the unjust. And it took the blood of Christ offered in our room instead. I'm sure this is what he said. This is who, this is Christ we're talking about. This man that he's talking about was the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this world. And he came to be a lamb. He came to be an offering. He came to be slaughtered. And oh, listen, that's what he said. And as a sheep before a dumb is sure, so he opened not his mouth. They come to get him in the garden of Gethsemane. They just led him away. And you know what he said? And I'll tell you, he said when they come to take him out of Gethsemane, he said, if you seek me, you let all these go their way. Oh, can you imagine that Ethiopian eunuch when he heard that? You know that they came to get the Lord Jesus Christ. A whole multitude came out to get him. And oh, Philip says, you know, they came out to get him. And our Lord Jesus, he walked up there and said, they said, we're looking for Jesus the Nazarene. He said, I'm he. He said, just scared them so bad they fell down. He said, who are you looking for? Jesus the Nazarene. I told you that's me. And they rested and got hold of him and went away, led as a lamb to the slaughter. And he said, but oh, if you want me, you can't have these. And oh, I bet that Ethiopian eunuch said, oh, you mean to tell me that he loved those folks and he let them, and all those people, well, he did that for them? Yes. And then look what else he said. Verse 8, he was taken from prison and from judgment. Oh my, led away by distress and judgment. And who's going to declare his generation? Who stood up and declared his generation? Who told his generation? That's why they said to him, said, oh, we know his mother, we know his father, we know Mary, we know his brethren, we know Joseph, we know that his dad is a carpenter, we know his family. How then does this man say he came down from heaven? And oh, he was, and listen to this, he was cut off out of the land of the living. What does that mean? Oh, Philip probably told me, said that mean that he died. He was numbered with the living, then he was cut off out of the land of the living. He died. He died for sin. He died to put away sin. And then look what he says. And why was he cut off out of the land of the living? For the transgression of my people. Was he stricken? Transgression of my people. Well, who's them people? And then he got to tell them about God's electing grace. Christ coming for a particular people. And oh, listen, he goes on down here and he probably went on through this chapter. Look what he said. He made his grave with the wicked. And with the rich in his death. Two wicked men. One wicked man on one side and another man on the other side. And oh, listen, he was buried in a rich man's tomb. And he had done no violence. There was no deceit in his mouth. And yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. God bruised him. He said his father bruised him. His father was the one who rose up to put him down. His father was the one who came. He came to satisfy his father. And he put him to grief. Made his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed prolong his days. The pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. And oh, this is the one that he probably really, really let down the hammer on. He shall see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. He saw the pain, the labor, the agony of what his soul went through. Went through. Which is his people. Satisfied. God was satisfied with the travail of his soul. Christ was satisfied with the travail of his soul. And we're satisfied with the travail of his soul. And then look at this, and by His knowledge. What does that mean? By Him giving the knowledge of Himself. By Him giving the knowledge of Himself shall my righteous servant. Then He has to deal with what a righteous servant is. He is righteous in His office, righteous in His person, righteous in His nature, righteous in His acts, righteous in His... Everything about Him was righteous. And He'll justify many because He'll bear their iniquities. And so you see, He went over there and He took the very verses of Scripture that Philip, that this man was reading, and He began to preach to him the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, he couldn't just finish there. He had to go to Christ's coming. He had to go who it was that was crucified. It's Jesus of Nazareth. Because he said, this Jesus, how was he righteous? How did he justify many? According to the Scriptures. And then they got down there. He preached the Lord Jesus Christ to this man. There's no telling how long it took. No telling how many verses of Scriptures he went through. And he had Isaiah with him. So he could go right through Isaiah and show him all the things. He could go to Isaiah 7:14. Listen, he was virgin born. He was born of a woman. He was born of a virgin. He was Emmanuel, God with us. He could go to Isaiah 9:6 and say, thou shalt call his name Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and upon his shoulder shall the government be. He could go to Isaiah 42 and said, he shall not fail, and he shall not be discouraged. He could go to Isaiah 45, 22 and said, oh, he's a just God and a Savior. So look unto me and be ye saved. He could have stayed in Isaiah and preached for days and days and days and days. And oh, listen, then he got down to some water. And it says in verse 36, and they went on their way and they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, well, here's water. What doeth hinder me? He taught him the importance of baptism. He taught him that baptism was the way you confessed your faith in Christ. That baptism was how you didn't get in the church by just raising your hand and coming up and shaking the preacher's hand. In those days, it meant something to be baptized. I mean, it really meant something. And he said, here's water. And Philip said, this is what Philip told him. If thou believest with all thine heart, you may. And he answered, said, I believe. I heard you preach, and I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God that came into this world. And he said, stand that chariot, stop it right in its tracks. And I'll tell you, this right here tells you that baptism is by immersion. They didn't get him up to their ankles and then he poured some water on them. This is the thing. And they were, both of them went down into the water. Both Philip and the eunuch. And he baptized him, buried him. And oh, listen. I tell you, that's the key. And you find all the way through the New Testament. People were baptized to make their confession of faith in Christ. And they had to, and that means that the Jews would disown them. Because you're confessing your faith in Christ. And down in Mexico, for somebody to get baptized there, they don't baptize very many. Because most of those people come out of Catholicism. And for a person raised in Catholicism to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, forsake Mary, forsake the saints and forsake the Catholic Church, and to be excommunicated from the church and to get baptized and say, I'm confessing my faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone. And whole families disown the ones that do that. And that's what this meant here. So that's why people don't take it too serious now about being baptized. It's an easy thing to do and it don't mean much to most people. But it meant everything in the New Testament to these people. And look what, oh my. And I tell you, Philip started and he taught the priest of, and he started with the Old Testament prophet, preached Christ from there to his death and his resurrection, Christ in him crucified. Oh my, he preached it. And I tell you, started in Isaiah. Let me show you another one over here in Acts chapter 2. Let's look at this just a minute. Acts chapter 2. Here's another preacher that just preached the Lord Jesus Christ from the Old Testament. We've looked at this Pentecostal preaching so many times over the years. But this is Peter explaining why there was tongues and the Holy Ghost coming. And you know, when they all began to speak in other tongues, some said in verse 13, others said, these men are full of new wine. And others heard them speak the wonderful works of God in their own tongues. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judah and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and listen to what I've got to say. These men are not drunk, seeing it is just the ninth hour of the morning. That means it's third hour of the morning. It's just 9 o'clock in the morning. Ain't nobody drunk. But he began to say this. He said, what you're seeing happen is the fulfillment of a prophecy that was given by Joel hundreds of years before this took place. And you know, Peter didn't know that until he got up and started preaching. I believe when he got up and started preaching, seeing that, the Holy Ghost said, now this is what Joel said was going to happen. And then he said, in the last days, and the last days started when Christ came, I pour out my spirit upon all flesh, men, women, young, old, the spirit of God will come upon all types of people before it just came upon prophets. And look what he says here. And I pour my spirit upon all, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. They're gonna witness and tell about the Lord Jesus Christ, and your young men will see visions. Peter saw visions. Paul saw visions. Philip saw visions. They saw visions. And your old men will dream dreams. They'll dream about God, and they'll dream about Christ, and they'll dream about the things that they're going to enjoy in glory. And on my servants and my handmaids, I'll pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. So he's telling them all that's happening to you was experienced and come from the Old Testament of concerning Joel. And he relates their experience to that verse of Scripture. This wasn't just a history lesson. And then he relates this prophecy quickly to our Lord Jesus Christ. Look down verse 22. And so you listen, he went on down through there and said some things that's going to happen. And then he says, you men of Israel, hear these words again. He said, I'm listening. Listen to what I got to say. Listen to what I got to say. And he got to Christ quickly. He says, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth. Who this Jesus of Nazareth? He takes people to the Lord Jesus Christ very quickly. He takes these people to Christ and who He is. And what about who is He? He's a man approved of God. No other man on top side of God's earth was ever approved of God. Adam wasn't approved of God. Abraham wasn't approved of God. Noah wasn't approved of God. Moses wasn't approved of God. The only one that God said, this is the one that I set my seal on. This is the one that's my child. This is the one that's my son. This is the one that I sent. And He approved of him. Of him. And look what it says. And oh, listen, this man was approved of God among you. And it was obvious he was approved of God. How come? Because by the miracles that he did. You all saw the miracles. You seen miracles that he did. You saw him give sight to the blind. You saw the lame to walk, lepers to be cleansed, the blind to see. And oh, listen. And wonders, all the wonders that he did. And the signs which God did by him in the midst of you. And look what he says here about it. You yourselves know it. You know it. You know this. And oh, listen, he proves the deity and power of Christ. And then look what happens here. He comes to who he was, proved of God what he did while he's on this earth. And then he comes to the crucifixion. He said in verse 23, Him, this Jesus of Nazareth, this man approved of God, you yourselves know what happened among you. in the midst of you. Him, this Jesus of Nazareth, being delivered by the determinate counsel of God, delivered by the sovereign purpose of God, by the counsel of God, by the will of God, by the sovereignty of God, by the purpose of God from all eternity. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. God and Christ knew exactly what was going to happen. Our Lord knew what was going to happen. He knew when it was going to happen. He told the disciples when it was going to happen. He told the disciples how it was going to happen. And they didn't know what happened till after it happened. And oh, listen, he said God delivered him up. But he said, you know what he did? He said, you have taken this one of God, this man approved of God, this man delivered by the determinate counsel of God and foreknowledge, you've taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. You got your hands on him when he came into this world. You laid your wicked hands on him. You slapped him. You spit in his face. You beat him. You gambled for his garments. You lied on him. You sent men out to lay hands on him and said, oh, never man spake like this man. And you, when you got an opportunity, man talks about his free will, this is the best free will we'll do. Pilate being willing to do what the people willed to be done to him. People talk about their free will, and I'm telling you something, a man's free will, because he trusted his free will, he trusted his good works, he trusted him working his way to glory, that every time he does that, he's got his wicked hands on Christ. And he's belittling Christ, and I'm telling you, he said, you crucified. And I know this, beloved, a man must have some understanding of the death of Christ and what that death accomplished. It's necessary to salvation. This idea that Jesus died for everybody, that's not enough. This idea that Jesus has just died and made salvation possible, that ain't no good. We got to have a definite accomplishment in His death. His death must really accomplish something for somebody. And so you got to understand something about the death of Christ. Why he died? Who did he die for? Who did our Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood for? And oh, listen, you got to have some understanding of that. And I'll tell you what, whenever it becomes, the death of Christ becomes particularly for you. He died, when you understand that He bore your sin, that He died for you, and you experience that death in your heart, you experience the shame and humiliation of your sin, that it took the death of Christ to put your sin away, right then and there, you'll look to that man and say, oh, bless His name. You mean He done that for me? How can it be? How can it be that Thou, my God, shouldst die for me? And oh, listen, and God, look what He went on to say in verse 24. Whom God raised up. He lived. He died. And then the next word out of his mouth, he preached who he was, he preached his death and why he died, and then he preached God raised him from the dead, having loosed the pains of death. Death was painful for him. And death was painful in his body, painful in his soul, as he sat there and said, oh my God, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. And oh, reason that loosed him up because it's not possible that he should be holding of death. Why? Because he's going to go and tell us why death couldn't hold him. And he quotes here from, I believe it's in Psalm 16. He says this, for David speaks concerning Christ. That's what he's talking about. This Jesus in Nazareth. David speaks concerning him. I foresaw the Lord always before my face. I saw the Lord speaking. Christ speaking. I saw the Lord. And this is Christ speaking. Always before my face. He is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope. And this is Christ talking now. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. You will not let me be in the grave long enough to see corruption. And another reason why he had never seen corruption, because he had no sin of his own. That's why. And oh, listen to what he goes on and says now. And he says down in verse 29, David's dead. David foresaw the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. David saw the resurrection of Christ. And he says, you made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Now, he says, men and brethren, let me speak to you freely of the patriarch David. He is dead. He's dead. And he's buried. And you can go to his grave where it's at right now. You can go to his grave. We know where his grave's at. And him being a prophet, and he knows that God swore with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, the son of David, according to the flesh, would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. That throne of David forever and ever. And he, seeing this before, spake. Listen to this. David spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell. Neither did his flesh see corruption. And this Jesus God hath raised up, and every one of us are witnesses of that. And look what he says to these men. And oh, he goes on to say where he is now. He says that, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having himself exalted, set him at his own right hand, place of power and honor and glory, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. David's not ascended into the heavens, but he said, the Lord said, to my Lord, sit down at my right hand, and I'll make you enemies your footstool. Now this is where it gets dead serious to them now. After he said they've heard this message. He says, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. God hath made that same Jesus. You know this and know it for sure, that God made that same Jesus you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now what happens? When they heard this, they heard this, that he's sitting at the right hand of God. And that one you crucified right now, he's Lord and he's the Christ. He's God and he's in heaven. He's at the right hand of God. When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. I mean, God stabbed them. And look what happens now. And they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Oh, unless somebody asked me that. Then Peter said unto them, repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and then the Holy Ghost will be given to you. And oh, listen, for the promises to you and to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Oh, he's calling you. That's what he's doing. And then look what happens here. In verse 41. Oh, then they gladly received his word. Oh my, gladly received his word. They're glad to hear this gospel. They're glad to hear this word. They're glad to hear that there's salvation. They're glad to hear that there was remission of sins. They're glad to hear that the Lord Jesus Christ would save them from their sin, that God would call them. And then they gladly received His word, were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Could you imagine baptizing 3,000 people? They was busy that day. Oh, I'm telling you, what an experience. And then look what else they did. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Oh, yes. They said, oh, these fellows are telling the truth. These fellows are preaching the gospel. These fellows are telling us about Christ. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And they continued in fellowship. They got together and they enjoyed one another's company. And they broke bread. And they all got together and prayed. Oh my. That's the practice of these fellows. You go through there and see how they took Christ. Wherever they started at, they got to Him. Got to who He was. How He came into the world. What He did while He's here. How He was buried. How He was raised again the third day. And how that He was seen as so many witnesses and ascended back up to glory. Oh, these fellas. Well, I'd love to be able to preach the gospel like they did. And the power they had. And the understanding they had. I really would. Be able to open the scriptures that easily. Our Father, thank You for allowing us to meet tonight. Thank You for allowing us to look through Your Word, to enjoy Your Word, to look what it is to preach Christ. How these men, the New Testament, just used the Old Testament and were able to preach the Lord Jesus Christ in power, in glory. Men were converted. Men confessed. Men and women came empty, broken, cried out in their hearts, what shall we do? What shall we do? And oh Lord, open hearts, open understandings, create desires in our lost loved ones, in our children, our grandchildren, husbands and wives and daughters and sons. We ask these things in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There is...